Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
The use of questions is an excellent technique in teaching. For instance, you may be listening to a teacher and what he's saying is well worthwhile. And most of it you glean, you recall what he said, and it's beneficial. But, you know, if he asks a question, it focuses your attention, does it not? It's a question requires a specific response, an observation that is normally not characteristic of one who's sitting in an audience is just simply listening to teaching. Now, the teaching is beneficial. There's no question about that. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing with the Word of God. But a question focuses my thought, my attention on a particular area. For instance, when Jesus said, Matthew 16, you remember? What is that, about verse 26? For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, you'd say, well, he's going to give an answer. He didn't give an answer. What? Oh, sure, the answer is found in the Scripture, but it's quite obvious. But, friends, this makes me think. For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world? Now, what is the desire of most people in this whole world today? Oh, the accumulation of wealth. You know, the possession of goods within its limits now. That's understandable. That's why you get an education. That's why you obtain employment. That's why you labor diligently. And hopefully your qualities will be observed and you may advance and the income will be greater. And we understand that in this physical world, if indeed we know who we are, oh, that's understandable, sure. And that's perfectly legitimate. There's nothing wrong with that. But what if a man should gain the whole world? You think, man, if I... Oh, and lose his own soul. Friends, there is really no profit. When you actually stop to think about it, sure, we're to work. Let our people earn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We understand that. What is that? Titus 3 at verse 14. Sure, we know the value of physical labor. Oh, and we understand through the teaching of Scripture that we're to be conscientious in it. It's not a matter of eye service, laboring in the service of a man, trying to please him. Oh, we do that when we are the best employee that he has, but our effort is to please God. God is going to reward us for our sincerity in all of our earthly engagements or activities. So then, it's not with eye service as men pleasers. It is in the fear of God that we do the things that we do in this world. But think about it now. With this desire for accumulation of goods, of wealth, etc., what would a man be profited if he should gain the whole world? Now, you think about it. Man, the world is mine. I can go where I please. I can do what I want to. There's no limit to what I spend. I can purchase anything that I desire. Really, when you stop to think about it, this is all material. And if I had the whole world, I can only eat one meal at a time, wear one suit of clothes at a time, one pair of shoes at a time. Oh, and then I reach a point as age, the years advance, that I don't really want anything. I don't really need anything material. We come to a point where this material possession is of little value. Well, where am I going? What should be the basis of my hope? What should motivate me in my conduct? Well, friends, it's not physical. This thing's wearing out. No, no. Oh, it has to be spiritual. Now, you do know, and we're all familiar with the fact, that Hebrews 9:27 tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. We don't have to argue that. We understand that. Oh, but after this, the judgment. You see, when I understand from whence I came, who I am, made in the image and the likeness of God, if I gain the whole world, lose my soul, miss the whole thing. This world's not mine. And if I had a deed to it, I can't keep it. I can't hold it. I won't be here that long. But I'm going to live forever. Then where should I place the emphasis? Nothing wrong with the accumulation of worldly goods. If you have the business acumen to accomplish, do it. That's fine. But Do it as a service to your fellow man in full recognition of the fact that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. James chapter 1, verse 17. Now, in recognition of this, I do what I do conscientiously in faith, in an effort to be approved of God. Yes, you're going to accomplish. Yes, you will accumulate. Indeed, you're going to achieve in a material way. That's fine. Oh, but don't place the emphasis there. As we've said, I don't know how many times on this program, that's what the Lord is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up yourself treasured upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break through and steal. Nothing wrong with that. That's not what he's saying. The contrast. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. So questions make me think. For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Oh, I would have lost everything. I didn't bring this world, and I won't take it. And while I'm here, it's not mine. Sure, I use it. Yes, I benefit from it. I'm fed well. I wear decent clothing. The Lord has blessed me with material gain to the extent of my needs. Well, I understand that, and I'm grateful for that, but this won't last. This is a temporary arrangement. And you know, a question asked from the audience is important also, because normally that question the audience might ask opens up an area of life that needs further tutelage, further instruction, that needs encouragement, that needs strengthening. So questions are an excellent vehicle for the conveyance of information, instruction. We understand that. But you know, there's one question asked, and this particular question is always asked in prejudice. And it's really designed to terminate any further religious discussion. Now, that sounds rather harsh, but let me say this, that the people who ask this question most of the time are not bad people at all. As a matter of fact, most of the time, they are deeply religious, very sincere people. But you see, the children of God, a Christian, is obligated to teach only the Word of God, is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. When the Christian speaks of spiritual matters, he must speak as the oracles of God direct. And you're familiar with that. What is it, 1 Peter 4, verse 11? You check these references. I've noticed in my old age, I sometimes quote the passage right and give a wrong reference. You're thinking too rapidly, but these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Don't you take my word, Acts 17, verse 11, you prove yourself noble. You check these matters out. But the Christian is bound by a thus saith the Lord. There's no question about that. I remember Paul in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 condemns those who would add to or take from or pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the Christian just speaks as the Bible speaks. Now, when you do that, people who may be very deeply religious, very, very sincere, think that you are judging other people. You're being judgmental. Now, it is true that truth judges me. There's no question about that. But friends, I'm not trying to be mean. No. It's like Paul said to the Galatians, am I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Well, friends, only the truth will make you free. John 8, verse 32. And how many, many people in this old world are religious. And they are deeply religious. They are very sincere. They do a lot of good work, but they don't do what the Lord said. They're lost. Look, how could a religious person be loyal? We'll notice that in just a few moments. But this question, do you think you're the only person going to heaven? Friend, that's, as we say, a question couched in prejudice. Oh, and it's designed to terminate any further religious discussion. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You're narrow-minded. You're dogmatic. You are bigoted. You think you're the only person. Friends, that's not the idea at all. That's not the purpose of our teaching book, chapter, and verse. Teaching a thus saith the Lord. Yes, that doesn't bend. That doesn't give. We can't add to it, delete from it, or substitute for it. That's just the way it is. Yes, but someone says that's harsh. That condemns everyone else. I don't condemn everyone else. Oh, but the truth does. The truth condemns my error. The truth condemns my disobedience. There's no question about that. And so when we speak the truth, this question generally comes from people who, through prior teaching, believe a different system of religion. Do you think you're the only people going to heaven? Let's see what the Lord said. Let's check this out. You remember that familiar passage in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21? Jesus said, and notice carefully now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Lord, these people are sincere. They believe. They call upon you. Wait. What did you say, Lord? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven? Oh, not just religious people because they're religious. No. Not just people that call on the name of the Lord. Not just people who believe that Christ is the Son of God. No. Oh, that's essential. Sure. We believe Christ is the... That's great. That's smart. But who will enter the kingdom? Those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven. Yes, but someone said, Preacher, I'm as good as you, a friend. That's never been a question in my mind. You may be better than I am. Someone said, Well, I do just as many good works as you. Whoa. You maybe do more good works than I do. That's not a comparison. No, sir. I don't think take any position on that at all. No, sir. I'm sure you do more than I do. Well, someone says, I'm just as sincere as you are. Friend, I've never questioned that. I don't have any doubt about that at all. You are as sincere as a human being can be. I don't question that. No, sir. It's not a personal matter. When I teach the truth, I teach it because this is what God said. Not because I want to run over you, roughshod, or make you look bad, or why, certainly not. Would to God that all of us could stand in unison before God acceptably. But it won't happen. It's not going... What did you say, Lord? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, yes, but Lord, what about religious people? That's what he's going to talk about. He said, many will come unto me in that day. What day is this? Is the day of judgment. And they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not teach you prophesy in thy name? In thy name cast out demons? In thy name do many mighty works? Now, these people are sincere, deeply religious, completely dedicated. Well, they teach in the name of Christ. And there's no question about this. What did he say to them? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, Lord, how could you say that? Well, back up to verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, that's what he went on to explain. Even these deeply religious people that teach in his name, do many mighty works, cast out demons, etc., he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now listen, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man building his house upon the rock. What are these sayings of Christ? Well, that's the last will and testament of God's Son. You remember John 16 at verse 13? Jesus, speaking to his apostles, said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. But now listen, reading on verse 14, he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, these shall he speak. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. So the apostles, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, inerrantly recorded the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. Oh, and every word in this book is a word of Christ. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity? They call on your name. They teach in your name. They do many mighty works. They cast out demons. Lord, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man building his house upon the rock. Rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I liken him unto a foolish man building his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Friends, it is vital. As a matter of fact, salvation is by faith. Faith cometh of hearing, hearing for the word of God. How then am I to order my life? By a thus saith the Lord. I need to do what he said, not what I think he would want me to do. Christianity is not a matter of feeling. No, no. It's not a matter of human opinion. No, sir. It's a matter of faith. Doing what God said. You see, God has decreed that all men should hear Christ. I think we understand that. If you went back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 at verse 15, you would see and hear Moses speaking to God's people. He said, Jehovah thy God shall raise up from the midst of thee of thy brethren a prophet like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken in all things. Now, if you drop down to verse 19, you would find God saying, whoever doesn't hearken to my words that I'll put in this prophet's mouth, I'll require it of him. Well, what is the significance of that? Oh, Peter, by inspiration, refers to that very prophecy. In Acts chapter 3, verse 22, Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord thy God raise up from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken in all things. And it shall be that whosoever shall not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Now, he made direct application of that to Jesus Christ. So we are to hear Christ. Where do we find his words? This last will and testament. Every word here is a word of Christ. Then we need to give our lives in humble obedience to the Lord's instruction. Otherwise, we can't go to heaven. That's simply out of the question. Yes, but someone says I'm a good person. Oh, that's great. We appreciate that. We're thankful to God that there are good people in this world. Somebody says, yes, but I'm deeply religious. Friend, religion, generally speaking, is of little value. The word means binding back. Oh, the only religion that will bind men back to God is the religion of Christ. That's all right here. It's called Christianity. Why, sure. It's simply a matter of faith complying with the Lord's instruction. God, having of olden time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets in divers portions and in divers manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us through his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the effulgence of his glory, the very image of his substance, when he had made purification for sin, sat down at the right hand of God, etc. That's the Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and following. What? God, in these last days, has spoken unto us through his Son. I remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets appeared and were talking with Christ about his decease, which must shortly come to pass in Jerusalem. And old Peter, being roused out of sleep, of course, not knowing fully what is going on, but seeing Moses and Elijah, he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I'll build three tabernacles, places of protection from the elements, etc. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He would have exalted Moses, representing the law, Elijah, representing the prophets, to a plane equal with Christ. Oh, but a bright light covered them, and cloud, and Moses and Elijah were taken out of the way. Only the Christ was left. Oh, and a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Jesus said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28 at verse 18. So I need to hear Jesus Christ. God has decreed that. Oh, but more than that, God has said that salvation is in Jesus Christ, His Son. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things are become new. Oh, but all things are of God, who made us ministers of the new covenant, Paul said. Oh, yes, we entreat that you receive the Lord. The grace of God is made available through the instruction contained in the blood-sealed covenant of the Son of God, as though God were entreating by us. Ah, we plead with you that you receive Jesus Christ into your hearts. Oh, how is that done? Oh, by simple obedience to His will. His salvation is in Jesus Christ. Why, certainly. That's what Peter said when he and John were on trial before the Sanhedrin. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, referring to Christ, he said, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you, the builders, which has become the head of the corner. And in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven given among men, wherein you must be saved." No question. Oh, Jesus said Himself, John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Oh, and that salvation in Christ? Yes, 2 Timothy 2:10. Paul said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So salvation is in Jesus Christ. What's your 1 John chapter 5, verse 11? "The witness is this, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Now, in Ephesians 1 at verse 7, "In whom we have our redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins." And if you backed up to verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Where are all spiritual blessings bestowed? In Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 at verse 3. So then, God has decreed that we are to hear His Son, Jesus Christ. Right. And He has told us specifically that salvation is in Christ. Right. Well, then the question may arise, how may I get into Jesus Christ? Well, now, we've read many, many times, Hebrews 11 at verse 6, that without faith it's impossible to please Him. So one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, but Jesus said, "Except you repent, you'll perish." Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Paul said the same thing, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, on Mars Hill. So then, man must repent. That is, make up his mind that he's not going to walk any longer in sin and error, that he's going to be like Him whom he loves, in whom he believes, wants to become like Jesus Christ. Then upon an acknowledgement of that faith, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Why? With the heart man believeth unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right. So I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What am I going to do about that? Oh, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, of course, shall be condemned." Mark 16 at verse 16. Why should it be baptized? Because salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. Well, how do you get into Christ? Well, don't you know, brethren, that all we who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. And if you've been planted with Him in the likeness of His death, you should be also in the likeness of His resurrection. That's from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. But it's interesting that if you haven't been planted with Him in the likeness of His death, you couldn't possibly be in the likeness of His resurrection. Where does that take place? Oh, in the act of baptism, buried with Him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with Him through faith in the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Colossians 2, verse 12. What puts us into Christ? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Was that verse 27? Galatians chapter 3. Friends, salvation is a matter of faith. Of faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why should I be baptized? God said to. Why did He say do it? To wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2 at verse 38. Oh, that puts you into Jesus Christ.